Welcome to this week's episode of Real Estate Marketing Insights, brought to you by Social Southern Creative, the one-stop shop for all of your real estate marketing needs. In today's fast-paced environment, standing out from the competition is more important than ever. As a leading marketing company specializing in the real estate industry, we understand the unique challenges that real estate professionals face in marketing their business and properties effectively.
Join us as we explore the latest marketing trends, provide insights on effective strategies, and highlight success stories of our clients. So whether you're a real estate agent, broker, developer, or simply interested in the world of real estate marketing, we're excited for you to join us.
Thank you for tuning in to Social Southern Creative.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good, Nina. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited that you brought an extra friend with you today. I'm excited that Gracie's here.
Yes, Gracie is my stepdaughter, if you want to say hello.
Hello.
I was so excited Gracie was with me this morning, and she got to join me and come to work with me. I think when you're in the marketing business and your kids hear this, they don't exactly know. So I'm like, hey, come to work today with me.
Right. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people don't fully understand what we do. So I'm excited that you get to see. I feel like Hedberg's starting to get the best grasp of it because he gets to hang out. So I'm excited that you're here too. And tell us a little bit more about what you're going to be doing next week, Gracie.
I'm going to UFRLDS in Perry, Georgia. It's a huge barrel race with over 2,000 contestants.
Whoa. And explain what barrel racing is for people that don't know.
It's like when you have a horse and you have three barrels set up in a clover leaf pattern, and you have to make the fastest time.
Okay, so that's scary. You guys go so fast, especially to see that I know, and just on that horse going so fast. Because I'm a little bit afraid of horses. I understand that they're very big and very strong. So to see you just on the back of that thing, just zipping it, it's intense how fast you guys go.
Yes, even it is.
And you go fast because you're really good. You got those low times, so you're one of the fastest.
Yes,
ma'am. Well, I'm excited that you're here. I'll miss you while you're out of town, though.
Yes, so so that's kind of what we're doing to prep, and I don't know, we're getting excited. We've never been, so if you are listening to this and you happen to have been to Youth Worlds, I know, you know, barrel racing isn't, you know, the most common in every area, but if you've been, we will take all the advice you can give us.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, thank you, Gracie, for saying hello, and I'm glad y'all got to meet her. And so we are going to now jump into our podcast. If you want to say bye to them, peace out. All right. And so this week, guys, we are going to be diving back into the topic of referrals.
Yeah. So we did part one last week. This will be part two. So last week, we kind of talked about different systems you can set up and different campaigns that you can have to make sure that you're maintaining these relationships for people that are going to be referring you out.
Correct. And last week, we also talked about some powerful stats that made this topic so important to us that we would actually give it two episodes. 13% of buyers use an agent that they've used before, which while you're like, okay, that's low, it is low because 90% of people are happy with the agent that they've used in the past, but only 13% return to that same agent. But to help boost that number up when it does come to referrals, more than a third of buyers do use someone that was referred to them. So if you add that 13% plus that one third, you get nearly 50%. So that, to put that into basic terms, nearly 50% of an agent's business does come from referrals or someone they know or a past customer.
Right.
And so we just want you to keep that in mind and just to really consider that powerful number in your business when nearly half your business comes from.
Right. And plus, establishing that trust is, I feel like that's one of the biggest hurdles that you have to overcome when you're first getting a new client or when you're trying to get new clients to come on. So with taking on these people that you already have somewhat of a relationship with or people you've already worked for, you can skip half that work and you already go to, you know, the halfway point. So why not invest in these relationships so you can do a whole lot less work in the future, you know?
Correct. And so I had this in my notes this week, and I'm so glad Nina segued right into this for me to make it really easy so I didn't have to insert this awkward sentence that I wanted to talk about. People or agents assume that leads are the same as referrals. And just like Nina said, they're not. Referrals are someone that you either have a relationship with or at least are know you or have been recommended to you. A lead is just a throwing a dart and just hoping it hits somewhere on the board and you can turn them into a client. So I don't want you to get the Zillow leads or lead sources that you can pay for online confused with the referral part of your business. They are not the same at all. It should be ran completely different. Yes, there is a place for those lead types of services, but just know that they are not as warm or as favorable as a referral.
Right. You got to kind of prioritize these referrals a little bit differently and approach the way you handle them a little bit differently.
Correct. Definitely the approach, because I think we assume that it's automatic. I think we assume like, oh, such and such likes us or had a good experience, they're automatically going to refer us.
Right. And you also a little bit might fall into the trap, and hopefully you don't, but you kind of expect them to. And so then when they don't, you're like,
you're very taken back.
Yeah, it might hurt your feelings a little bit. So
right.
Be realistic about it.
Correct. And especially here in the state of Florida, where there is an overabundance of agents and not an overabundance of houses. And I know that's the story for most of the country right now. So what I'm trying to say is many people have multiple agents they could recommend. And that's why you have to put in the work to be a great referral agent. It's not as automatic as we believe it will be. And so whenever we were discussing this podcast, Nina had a great point, especially with the people that you're already very close with, like your mom, dad, aunt, uncle, the ones that you absolutely know are going to refer you. Mm-hmm. If you still try to build even a deeper connection with them as far as understanding what you do for a living, then they can be a very powerful mouthpiece for you.
Right. Absolutely.
One of the stories we were kind of sharing earlier, it's like if you had maybe helped a person purchase a home and there was some ordinance issues or easement issues or something on the survey, and as the agent, you were able to figure out a solution to overcome that, and you're sharing that story with your mom or your dad or someone in your very close sphere of influence, and then they run across a coworker who's wanting to sell their property but knows they might have some boundary issues or survey issues, how much more powerful can it be for your mom? Instead of saying, oh, use my daughter, she could say, use my daughter, she just went through this very same thing and this is how she solved it.
Right. And some people have the mindset, and to an extent I can sometimes too, where it's like, oh, I'm going to leave work at work, I'm not going to talk about work like in my personal life. But this kind of really isn't an industry where that's always the best, you know, practice, you know?
And we're not saying shove down people's throat what you do.
Right. Or just be like, oh, always complaining about all the terrible stuff that you go through at work. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to share your success stories and share some of the struggles that you had to overcome with those people in your inner circle, so that way they are aware of the type of challenges that you're capable of overcoming. So that way, if they encounter other people, they can make a more genuine referral with kind of like some, you know, evidence to go behind it. Because a lot of people are going to know a lot of real estate agents, you know, so if you can have something else to kind of be more memorable about, or if they can just have more to say about you.
For sure. So, and that's what we wanted to touch on before we actually dive into the meat and potatoes of this this episode, is don't just take your immediate sphere of influence for granted and not put any effort into work with them, because they will be your biggest mouthpiece and your most passionate mouthpiece. And if they have evidence, like Nina was saying, to give the world, then how much more powerful is that than just saying, hey, just use my daughter. And so let's go ahead and dive right in today into the parts that we really wanted to talk about as far as how you can implement some powerful referrals in your business. And we must mention before we dive into them that we were very inspired by this book, The 7 Levels of Communication by Michael Mahar. I think I'm saying his last name correctly. If not, I'm going to link
all it. Respect regardless.
Yes, all respect. It's a fantastic book that was a great, great motivation for this podcast, plus the stats that we alluded to in the beginning. So one of the things he suggested in the book that really I was like, oh, that's so powerful, is to not only look at just what you can do for yourself when it comes to referrals, but look what you can do for others when it comes to referrals. What are two businesses that you can connect in your community, or a person to a business that you can connect?
Right, absolutely. Making those connections, I feel like people will want to almost like, if you're going to scratch their back, they want to scratch your back too. That kind of tip for tat. Like if you're helping them, they want to help you too.
And this has to be a very intentional thing, because we're so busy. So I think you'll say, oh, I seen on Facebook where such and such is looking for X. I know X, but I'm too busy to stop and comment. But imagine if you took the time to really try to build these connections between these two people, or you go a step further and pick up the phone, which is what I would do if you really wanted to be powerful with your referral business, and say, hey, listen, I know someone, I'm going to recommend them, but let me call them first. And you make sure that you're in the framework of that connection. I think that will be a massive way to really build referrals in your business. And another example, Nina and I were talking about this earlier, There was a girl that we knew that was going to be starting a mobile bartending business using a horse trailer. And the horse trailer she bought needed all kinds of work.
Right. So she was going to have to rehab the horse trailer a little bit so it'd be ready for, you know, business. And if we were to have known, you know, someone that did welding or anything.
Or woodwork because it needed a new floor.
Yeah. Anything like that, electrical. If we were able to help make that connection, then that would have been a good.
A segue to show her, like, not only do we support your new business, we know this connection, and then we could set them up and just really make that. So this allows you to be seen as a valuable asset in people's lives. It also allows you to fill your database with top quality people, the movers and shakers in your community. If you're constantly working with other business owners to put their name out there, they're going to do the same for you. And a lot of times if they're business owners, they are seen as a respected or trusted member of the community. So when they recommend you, it's going to take weight in the person's lives that they recommend you to.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, the next way we want you to consider being intentional is a way that I absolutely failed over the last year. And so this part, while it did was mentioned in the book, it was also something that I didn't do that well at this year, and I want to kind of speak into that. But we want you to be intentional about the daily people that you come into contact with.
Right. So if you always go to the same coffee shop, or in the book, he advised to always have your business meetings at the same restaurant, and you can even stack them to where you're having multiple meetings in the same same afternoon at the same place, sitting at the same table, because then you can build relationships with the people at that restaurant, and you should build relationships with them. You should be asking about their lives outside of work or their goals and things like that, and building that relationship. I feel like that impresses the people that you'll be meeting with, because the staff at the restaurant will already know you. They'll be nice to you. You'll be nice back. You know, if it just looks good and it has that very, I don't know, everyone likes a positive atmosphere, you know, and then you're comfortable there too. So you know where the bathroom is. That's always helpful.
That's what this guy was saying in the book. He scheduled like Nina said, every single lunch meeting at the same restaurant. It was a fancy restaurant. He intentionally chose that. I know not every budget will allow that, but he wanted to be seen as an elevated person in his community. So he scheduled at the nicest restaurant in his town, and then he would always leave a good tip. So when he did come in that next week, because he came in weekly, the staff there would serve him over the top well, which then impressed his customers that he was meeting with.
Right, absolutely.
And I also think it speaks in for the wait staff. They see this gentleman committed, showing up every single week, having meetings and lunches. And a lot of these lunches he talks about in the book were just people he invited randomly to lunch to build a deeper connection. It wasn't like he was bringing a lender or a home inspector. He just brought someone who he thought might know someone that they can connect him with to help him get more clients.
Right, absolutely. And I've worked in the service industry for a while, and I feel like I have seen that with a few of our regulars, where they will bring in different people to have pretty regular lunches. And like, we walk up to the table, refer to them by name. I feel like they tend to get better service because they're not forgotten about, you know, like they're never really, we notice when they walk in, so they don't really like slip through their cracks as far as like other people that might come in, and they might take a little bit longer to get greeted. At least we'll go and be like, oh, hey, Jeff, I'll be right with you in a few minutes, you know, so.
Yeah, for sure. And so the way I failed is this past year, my son goes to school in a different town than what I live in. So I go to a nearby restaurant, Southern Grounds, if you're local. I love them, especially Southern Grounds in Avondale. Shout out to them. And so I've worked there this entire year, pretty much 3 days a week while my son is at school. So I drive in, drop him off at school, go to the restaurant, and then it's meant for those who are listening who are not local, it is encouraged that you stay there and work for a good period of time. I don't want you to think like, oh, she just took up a table all day. It's self-check.
It's like a coffee shop, like kind of Panera place. And they do have, especially the Avondale, they have a great spread of tables. We're not the only people.
Yes, and they have a plug-in at every single table. So to me, that screams, we want you to stay all day. But
at least that's how we're taking it.
Yeah, that's the way we're reading between the lines. So I would go there every day. And I read this book towards the end of the school year, and it really spoke to me. Like, I see the same people. And yes, I say hello. I kind of joke with them a little bit. They definitely recognize me. They know my orders, all the things. But yet I never took it a layer deeper to learn about, like, you know, their lives. Like, oh, do you have any siblings? Because a lot of them are younger, so I don't know if they would have kids. But like, I didn't take the time to build deep relationships. And I seen them 3 times a week, but I would go in, order my food, and sit down, put my AirPods in, and get to work. whereas I could have spent 10 minutes being intentional on building those relationships, which then could have built me some more referral business, because most people know a real estate agent and that's our ideal client.
Right, absolutely.
So just remember, when you go to the dry cleaners this week, or if you go to the same Starbucks in your town, or even your bank, going in instead of going through the drive-thru, taking the 2 to 3 extra minutes. How's your day? If you happen to know they have a daughter, how's your daughter doing? And going a level deeper to build these relationships. You don't have to be salesy, and that's what we want to make clear in this. You just have to be intentional about creating the conversation.
Right, absolutely.
And so the third and final step to this podcast that we want to offer, and we've already covered it, but it's just too important to not cover again, and that is to develop systems where you actually implement a referral system in your business. We can tell you all these things. You can go out and have random conversations here and there, but when it's done with intentionality, you will become that top agent in your office. When it's done with intentionality on repeat in a systematic way that you can track.
Right, absolutely. And like, the system doesn't have to be some like super convoluted thing that you sit down and you spend a week working out a system for it. It just needs to be something that you intentionally put time into and have a process and steps and a routine, and you know when A happens, and I'll follow up with B, C, D. Like, it's just having that plan in place almost. You know, it's not necessarily has to be some like complicated program that you pay for that you have to like be constantly maintaining, because you should be working on this daily. This should be something that you do every day, but it shouldn't be something that takes up the lion's share of your day every day.
But it, like Nita said, it should be daily. When 50% of the average agent's business comes from referrals, there is not a day goes by that I would not invest in my customer relationship management and my lead generation efforts in order to obtain referrals. It is that important. And I know what you're saying. Well, if someone calls me and they want to go see a $3 million property and I had a luncheon scheduled, I'm going to show the $3 million property.
As you should.
As you should. We are not saying that. But that luncheon you had scheduled needs to be immediately rescheduled. Mm-hmm. These things need to be put on your calendar and followed through with. Lead generation and customer relationship management, both systems are the first for people to push off. They don't feel like it's a necessary thing. They'll go, oh, I need to go to this home inspection. That's not important, you know, but it is, because this is your next deal in the works. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's kind of our follow up on becoming a referral agent, how to do it in a strong way. And remember, if you have any questions or you're like, hey, can you explain this a little further? You can always slide into our DM.
We would love to hear from you.
For sure. We're actually teaching a class next week at a brokerage in Gainesville, and we've taught there before and they've asked us back, so we're very excited.
Yeah.
And we're teaching a class on systemizing your business, creating systems, and so we will cover customer relationship management heavily in that class, in building a system on so that they can generate referrals. So
yeah, and I know we kind of say this about a lot of our classes, but I feel like this class has so much good value in it, and I feel like I'm really excited to teach it. I'm also really excited to see them be able to implement these systems in their business and see how it like changes for them. So, like, it's a very it creates a lot of change for people, so I'm excited.
I think so too, and it's immediate change. Like, one of the questions we ask is, what can you absolutely change today that will create better habits, you know, in that class? And we're going to go through some ideas with them. So excited about that. If you are a broker, or you think your broker would like to have us come in and teach a class, we would love to do that. We do cover most of North Florida, and so you can always slide into our DMs if that's something you're interested in.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. So, Nina, any plans the rest of the week?
Yes, my friend is having her engagement party. I'm very excited. And she is having her engagement party, and our friend who just moved into a new house is hosting it. So it's kind of a double whammy. I get to celebrate my friend's getting engaged, and I also get to see my other friend's new house. So that's going to be the highlight of my weekend for sure.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah. What about you guys? Getting ready to go out of town, or you got some big plans?
Yes. I am now. It's all been up in the air. My son woke up with a fever. And we were supposed to go see my grandmother, but obviously with a child with a fever, you don't want to take him around an elderly person. But my mom was so gracious this morning and took my son to the Minute Clinic. And I mean, I know I'm saying luckily, but luckily it is an ear infection, so it's not contagious. And we're going to get the medicine. And so we are going to still attempt to go see her this weekend and go to a Braves game.
Have you ever been to a Braves game before?
When I was little.
Gracie, have you ever been to a baseball game?
Get him.
I've been to the...
Was it the Jumbo Shrimp?
Jumbo Shrimp.
Okay. I've been to Jumbo Shrimp, and I've been to a Rockies game. And Rockies are pretty big fans, and I feel like Jumbo Shrimp fans are fans, but those Atlanta Braves fans, those are some serious baseball fans. So I feel like just being in the stadium will be an experience in and of itself.
I mean, I still talk about the 95 World Series, and I was 10 years old. I mean, that's how that hard we are in Georgia. But I'm from Georgia, you know? Like, that was a massive moment in our lives, you know?
I believe it. I was only one, so that's a little more foggy for me. But
still glory days. No, they've won it since then. They won it year before last because Georgia won the national championship in football. And then the Braves won the World Series. And something else big happened in Georgia. I've been living in Florida too long. I'm not keeping up with my Georgia stuff.
Yeah.
For what it was. So.
The extent of my baseball knowledge is going to Henry's T-ball games. So.
Yes. Yes. And gosh, does he love it. So. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And thank you, Gracie, for coming with us today.
No, thank you.
And Nina, I will see you next week.
See you next week.